California's Central Valley is the most productive agricultural region in the world. 300 different crops, including most of the nation's fruits, vegetables, and nuts, are grown there. But the region's farms are on a collision course with environmentalists and with new suburbanites. For the first time, farmers in the Great Valley will have to conform to clean air and clean water standards. They say the new regulations could mean the difference between staying in farming or selling out to developers.
Some environmentalists and opponents of industrial agriculture ask why the farmers don't just kick the chemical habit and go organic. After all, they say, it's the only segment of agriculture that is experiencing economic growth these days, and the arid Central Valley is well suited to it. But as NPR's John McChesney reports, the path to organic is strewn with obstacles.
David Masumoto twists open the valve at an irrigation gate on his peach and grape farm south of Fresno.
It's magical, that sound.
The magic Sierra Mountain snowmelt turns the valley's desert floor, where it doesn't rain for 6 months of the year, into a luxuriant garden. Masumoto is an organic farmer who raises luscious Suncrest peaches, a variety no longer found in supermarkets because they're not durable enough. In his orchard, Masumoto's Suncrests glow like lanterns amidst the dark green leaves. Masumoto is a writer as well as a farmer, and his passion for his peaches is evident as he turns one over in his hand while his pickers adjust ladders and drop Suncrests into boxes.
I get excited. I really do, especially in this early morning light, because it just brings out the colors. And I always thought that peaches, because they have this fuzz, it sort of captures the light in a different way. Almost like maybe it works like a prism or something, and it kind of glows in a different way. Pointillism, right?
Beneath Masumoto's trees is a jungle of weeds, one of the consequences of farming organically. When the weeds first appeared in Masumoto's orchards, mystified neighbors asked his mother if he was sick or had died. But the weeds can be one of the benefits of organic farming if managed correctly. Predator insects find a home here and help control the bad bugs that prey on the Suncrests. Masumoto went organic back in the early 1980s, before it became popular.
Some of the systems didn't make sense to me. I remember when my children was born, my daughter was born in 85. If I used a certain chemical, I'd have to not allow her to go into the fields for 30 days. This doesn't sound like a family farm to me. Did I want to force my neighbor to change? No. I would just change on my own and see if I could get it to work here. And maybe by example, educate others that way.
Only a few farmers have followed Masumoto's example in the valley, where the total amount of acreage using organic methods is still under 1%. Those who have followed are mostly small farmers selling into a niche market of upscale restaurants and farmers markets. But almost all agriculture in the Central Valley is large scale, selling into a mass market. And for that sector, going organic has met with little success so far. Blake Harlan farms on an industrial scale. His tomato harvester lumbers through his 2,500-acre crop of plum tomatoes, looking for all the world like an armored personnel carrier with some orange canopies attached to it to shelter the workers on board. Standing on the harvester platform, we watch as the machine munches up rows of plants, roots and all.
There's the plants uprooted and passing through a drum that vibrates to shake all the tomatoes off. The tomatoes go through a blower fan that blows all the dry vines out, and then they're dropped in front of an electronic sorter. The electronic sorter kicks the green out.
But these are not organic tomatoes. Back in his office, Blake Harlan says he did try to go organic.
We were in an organic program for 9 years. For 9 years, I was the biggest organic farmer in the county.
The toughest struggle, Harlan says, was with weed control. He had a few wet years and couldn't catch up with the intruders. One approved organic method for controlling weeds is to burn them with a propane torch.
And on 160 acres of 240, I burned 5,000 gallons of propane trying to control weeds and did nothing to control, very little to control, when on all of my other grounds, I applied a pint and a quarter of Roundup and had nearly perfect control.
Harlan says he has cut back on his use of pesticides, but he's not sure that will satisfy the new regulations being formulated for the valley. And weeds and insects are not the only impediments to going organic here. Organic farmers in the valley now face intense global competition. Take the case of Claude Shepherd, a pioneer organic cotton farmer in the southern Central Valley. At one time, he had 8,000 acres under cultivation. Standing forlornly in the middle of one of his fields, Shepherd gestures at the towering weeds that threaten to overwhelm the dark green cotton plants.
Last year's crop hadn't been sold, and we didn't have the funds to actually come in and chop when we should have chopped and got a lot of it taken care of.
Shepherd has declared bankruptcy and hasn't been able to pay for workers to come in and cut weeds manually. He's broke, he says, because buyers who promise to purchase his crop are instead buying foreign organic cotton at much lower prices. Shepherd says if he doesn't sell last year's and this year's crop,
I would have to lose this piece of property that we stand on right here. Really, the only sad thing about it is, you know, one time my granddad owned it, then my dad, and now then I own it. And I have a son that's 26 years old that's planning on owning it one day.
Not too far from Claude Shepherd's weedy cotton, John Diener is harvesting his organic tomato crop. Diener is one of the most unusual farmers in the Central Valley because he straddles the gap between organic and conventional agriculture. Unlike David Masumoto, he is not your boutique organic farmer. Diener's farm is large, 4,000 acres. Unlike Blake Harlan, though, Diener says organic farming is viable on a large scale. He started in 1989 with 150 acres of organic tomatoes and is now farming 950 acres. Bending over a row of Roma tomatoes, he lifts the leafy canopy to reveal vines amazingly thick with red tomatoes. He cuts one in half with his pocket knife.
They have a nice internal color, like that, and they're looking for a good underskin color, which would be bright red.
Diener hands me half. The aroma of tomatoes are tasty.
Very great variety.
And pops the other half in his mouth.
It's testimony to the fact that you can grow the tomatoes and grow them clean without worm damage or insect damage at the right time of the year doing the right techniques.
One technique is the use of pheromones, imitations of the sexual odors emitted by insects, to disrupt their mating habits. In another field not far from here, Diener is growing tomatoes using conventional agriculture, and his organic experience has been put to work on these fields.
We use a lot more manures and compost in our conventional agriculture from what we've learned in the organic system.
He says he's reduced by two-thirds the amount of chemicals used on his conventional fields. This kind of dual farming lets him keep pace with organic demand without betting his entire farm. But Diener says that farming organically requires an ethical commitment, that if you do it only for higher profits, you will most likely not stay with it. Rattling along in his pickup truck, Diener eulogizes the unique agricultural value of the Central Valley, where the dry climate inhibits fungus, rot, and other pests.
I think of all places to farm, this is the right place to be farming because we have the least amount of external inputs necessary to grow things. We don't have to use a lot of the chemicals and things that are used to prop up agriculture in other areas. That in and of itself is a valuable thing for the society.
John Diener believes organic agriculture has a strong future here if consumer demand continues to grow. He says that as environmentalists and new suburbanites who have little sympathy with farmers continue to press for stricter regulations, others could do what he's doing. But experts say that valley farmers will need time to make these adjustments. Too much pressure, too fast, increases the temptation for farmers to sell out to developers. And farmers warn that if too much of the valley's prime land disappears under houses or malls, Americans will become more dependent on imports from developing countries where pesticides are still used with abandon. John McChesney, NPR News, in California's Central Valley.
Tomorrow, the last story in our series on the Central Valley explores the world of farm laborers, an underclass of low-skilled workers with little chance to improve their lives. For more on our series, you can check our website, npr.org.